Thank you, Dale. It's especially good to hear Dale leading singing this morning after we were wondering if he was one of those who had some of the difficulty, and they were very fortunate. But if you see a couple of extra barn doors blowing around today, and you might, you can see Dale and Bob Ann, because I believe they belong to them. So, of course, their neighbors weren't quite as fortunate, but they were able to get away without injury, and so we're very blessed in that. I know a lot of y'all were pretty close to the tornado's path at one point or the other. We had a tornado party over at Alvin and Mary's old house with several of the ones from the congregation here, and we really enjoyed it. We had a great rain that we were desperately in need of. We were trying to figure out the last time we saw that much water rolling in the ditch, and I honestly, it's been so long I can't remember, and so we did get the blessing of rain with this, and for that we're of course most grateful, as well as we're so very grateful for the safety everyone enjoyed through all this. The news, it was just kind of interesting to see Happy and Shallow Water and Lubbock in the news for a tornado, and all of our family to be okay, because part of our family lives in Shallow Water and part in Lubbock, and of course all of us here, so very blessed. We're going to talk about something that Guy brought up in class this morning in Ephesians, but we want to start in John chapter 1 and verse 1 to introduce that. One of the things that I have loved about taking a little more time this year to read through the scriptures is it really allows you to kind of just focus on one chapter and then think about some of the important things. I don't know if you've been taking part in this or not, or in another Bible reading that you enjoy and get a lot of benefit from, but let me encourage you to continue to read the Bible. I think one of the things that we're very blessed with here is the fact that we have so many students of the Bible, and so it really it's a safeguard. It's a safeguard for the congregation here, for the church. It's a safeguard for the community to have the truth entrusted, and it's certainly a safeguard for our families. For whom we want to make sure that we have the very best possibility of living in obedience to God, that we might take advantage of His grace and of the shed blood of Christ, that we might be with Him forever. As we're in John chapter 1, verse 1, I want to read a passage from Genesis. You don't have to turn back to it because it will be familiar to you. Genesis 1:1 starts out, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Genesis 1:26, however, says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image and in our likeness.'" Well, who is God talking to? Before that, He always just said, "Let there be." Whatever it was, let there be light, and the different animals He created, the different stars and the moon and the sun and the firmament and everything. It was let there be. But when He came to man, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Well, John chapter 1 and verse 1 answers that. 1,500 years after this was written and over 4,000 years after this event occurred in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, we have the answer. John 1 verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." And so we know that the Word was with God and, in fact, was God. We're going to read in just a moment that the Word is Jesus. Jesus tells us that if we have said, or told the people at that time, if they saw Him, they had seen God, that He and the Father were one. And yet they were also two very separate individuals. Jesus is the Son. God is the Father. Jesus pointed out time and time again that He was subservient to God, that He had to obey the Father. But they were one in spirit. They were one in purpose, and it's that purpose that we want to talk about. But again, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made. In verse 10, It says he was in the world, and through the world was made through him. Though the world was made through him, let me read that again in English. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Now, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John, though it's John the Apostle that's writing this, he's talking about John the Baptist here in verse 15. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" And so it was the Word that John the Baptist was going to say this about having been before him and surpassed him. And then in verse 29, it comes together when we see the next day, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." And so now we know that this man who was referred to as the Word, who is referred to as the co-creator, or we have the reference of his creating the world with God, we now find is Jesus. So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, when he said, "Let us make man in our own image," clearly Jesus was with God at the creation. In fact, we're told that nothing was created without Christ. Now, the reason that this is so important is because Christ had a role to play in what is called in Ephesians God's eternal purpose. So Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 is where we want to go next. His intent now is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. I have to confess, I don't know fully what this part means. I do know that the church has the role to preach the good news. We are the ones to make known the wisdom of God. But it's verse 11 that I really want to point out to you. According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The purpose that God had for us was eternal. It's always been, and he accomplished that in Christ Jesus. And so God had a purpose that's eternal. Christ has that same purpose, which was eternal, and he accomplished God's eternal purpose. That was why he came into this world. Think about that for a moment. Why did Jesus have to come into the world? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so we see this was an important part of Christ's role in fulfilling God's eternal purpose. But why did he have to do it? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then you look over at Romans 6:23, and it says, "The wages of sin is death." Well, one of the things that we learn from reading the Scriptures is that God is holy, and unholiness cannot exist in the presence of holiness. It's impossible. That's why when Uzzah reached up and touched the Ark of the Covenant, though his intentions appeared to be pure, I don't want the Ark to fall, he came into contact with the holiness of God. And unholiness cannot exist in the presence of God's holiness. And so, since God knew that men would sin, and that sin would make us unholy and therefore separate us from God, he had a plan. From the very beginning, he had a plan, as a matter of fact. Talking about that separation, though, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you." This is one of the most important understandings that we need about sin. I hear people all the time saying something along the lines of, I may sin, I may not always do what God wants me to do, but God knows that I love him. Well, we know that all have sinned, but this idea that somehow we can continue intentionally in our sin and that passes love is not accurate. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command." And so it's very important that we understand that while all have sinned, we cannot intentionally continue in that sin. We have to do our best to come out of it. But again, this is why Christ Jesus came into this world, was to save sinners, because sin separates. By the way, that also tells us why Adam and Eve had to be removed from the garden. We know that God promised them that in the day they ate of the forbidden fruit, they would die. And some people have correctly noticed that they didn't die physically that day. That wasn't what God was talking about. It was a spiritual death. The moment they took of that forbidden fruit, they had sin in their life. And the moment they had sin in their life, that sin separated them from God. And that's what spiritual death is. It can be temporary, and hopefully in our lives, when we have sinned, it is temporary. But if we die in that state, it becomes permanent. One of the beauties of what we see about God is God appeared to accept Adam and Eve back when the things were taken care of in God's way. And He'll do the same for us. But again, sin separates. That's what Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, and that's what we read throughout the Scriptures. But again, now let's come back to this part of Christ's role in the eternal purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Well, God knew before the creation of the world that we would sin, and so we are told here that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. We are told that we would receive every spiritual blessing in Christ, that this was planned before the foundation of the world. It was God's eternal purpose. He had that plan before man was ever created. Adam and Eve didn't just sin and God have to come up with some kind of a plan to take care of it. God knew that they would sin. That's one of the consequences. I don't want to say consequence, but that's one of the results of giving people freedom. Is it not? God could have made you a robot. If you've ever wondered why God permits bad things to happen, God could have made you a robot so nothing bad would ever happen. But God wanted people to choose to serve Him. And in that choice, we always have the choice of sin. And because of that, we often choose wrong, do we not? God, knowing that before the world was created, had a plan in place before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in Christ to be holy and blameless. And understand again, I think that Guy hit this very well in his Bible class this morning. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but verse 5, when it talks about the predestination only refers to God's plan. He had a predetermined plan. This nonsense that we hear about in the religious world about some sort of a predestination that's an irresistible urge that causes you to either be saved or lost in a way that you can't help, the Bible doesn't teach that. The word predestination is there, but that's not what the word predestination means. It has nothing to do with an irresistible urge. It has to do with the fact that God had an eternal purpose. He knew we would sin, and so from the very beginning, in fact, before the creation of the world, He had a plan for us to come back to Him. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him also you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, and were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. One of the most beautiful things about our relationship with God is that even though He knew that we would sin, He had a way for us to come back. And He wants us to take advantage of that way. The only question is, will we do that? continuing on in Ephesians chapter 1, excuse me, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 3 now, and verse 10, and look one more time at this idea of his eternal purpose. Verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus came into this world with the specific design to save us from our sins. It was God's eternal purpose. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Not only did he fulfill his purpose, but he did so when the time was just exactly right. One of the things that really, I think, is something that we need to be taking into consideration. People live their lives way too often in a random way. They act as if the event, and they live as if the events of the day are what will determine the way they live. And so if this happens, they just it's like a fireman answering the alarms. And because of that, some people lose sight of the fact that they are here for a purpose and that they have a purpose to accomplish. Just as Christ had a purpose to accomplish, we have one as well. And if we don't do what we were created to do, our life is a failure. And again, God knows that we're going to be caught up with the everyday things of life. He's very aware of that. But he expects us to keep in mind this eternal purpose as we go through. You're here to serve God, so you can serve him for all eternity. You don't deserve it, but he has given that offer to those who don't deserve it. It's a wonderful thing. We read about the guarantee that we have. I get people that I don't know, and I'm sure you do too, and I hope you do, but they'll ask you, why are you so happy? And, well, we're saved. We're going to heaven. If we don't turn around, we're going to heaven, not because we're good, but because God is good and because God is faithful. But understanding that will also maybe help us to get through the difficult times. We live in a weird time, do we not? We have just experienced and are still experiencing the tail end of a terrible pandemic. I don't know which has been worse, the pandemic itself, which has taken countless lives, or the way we've reacted to it in different times, but it's been a difficult thing. We haven't always known what to do. So just do your best. Each one gets to do his best. But you don't need to worry about it. The concern that we need is obvious, but the worry, that wringing of the hands and staying awake at night, God's purpose is going to prevail. This evening, we're going to talk about David and about the incredible odds that he survived in fighting a bear and a lion and a giant. And yet, he was still able to fulfill God's purpose for him. The only thing that would have been more incredible than David not surviving the fight against the bear and the lion and Goliath would have been him not, because he had a purpose that God had designed for him that had to be fulfilled. You have a purpose that God has designed for you. I don't know what it is. It may be something just as simple as living faithfully before him. There may be other things. I suspect there are different things in each person's life. Proverbs 19:22 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. What kind of plans do you have? You ever had a plan to start a business that didn't work? Plan to build a house and didn't get built? Plan to get married to this person, didn't get married to that person. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. We are here to fulfill God's purpose. And if we can keep that in mind, then the vagaries of life, the things that happen, aren't going to concern us as much as maybe they do sometimes. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. For those who are scared to death, whether it was the tornado yesterday or the things that have been occurring in the last year or the things we look forward to in the years to come, understand this. God is in charge. So I'm God, and there's no other. You weren't created to just survive life. You were created to serve Him in His way. Verse 10, I make known from the end, from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. It's His eternal purpose, that we be with Him forever. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. I've heard so much in the last year of people worried about wicked people getting away with things. It drives them to distraction, it seems, that the idea that they might be getting away with things. And some of the things that it appears that wicked people have gotten away with in the last year, I would agree, are cause for concern. But don't forget for a moment that God says, my purpose will stand. I will do all that I please. Evil people are not going to win. God is going to win. If you're on God's side, you're going to win as well. But the point of all this is that God has an eternal purpose. It involved Christ. We see how He fulfilled His part of it. He has an eternal purpose for you, and that's to be with Him forever in heaven. That eternal purpose does not include you being so caught up in the physical world that you cannot operate as a spiritual being. That eternal purpose means that when you wake up in the morning, your first thought is, what can I do? What do I need to be doing for God today? If that doesn't even show up in your day until you pillow your head at night and start asking God for the goodies that you think you need tomorrow, you're missing the sight of your eternal purpose. We have a lot of things in this physical world that we can do, and a lot of them are fun. They're going to pick brackets tonight for the NCAA championship. That's fun. That's why we have an extra hour today. Did you know that? It was so they could have that selection show. There's a lot of things we can appropriately enjoy. We can enjoy our families. We can take deep satisfaction in the accomplishments that they have. We can love the fact that they are forgiven, and so that when they fail, that they have a chance to come back to God. And we can love the fact that we are going to heaven if we will just take part in God's eternal purpose. But if we ever lose sight of that, we may find ourselves separated forever. And so the encouragement today is realize that God's purpose will prevail. It is eternal. You've got a part in that. The only thing that's left to be settled is, will you do your part? The invitation's open. We were thrilled to witness Caleb being baptized into Christ this last week. It's an exciting time. Maybe that you're ready to become a Christian today. We would love to help you with that. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. If there's anything we can do for you right now, won't you come forward and let us know what that might be while we stand and sing?